What's happening? What's good? What's up? Welcome to the Designated Driver Podcast. I am Marcus D. Wiley, and I have some of my favorite people riding again with me today. None other than Kelly Hummertuck. Am I saying it right?
You are.
Well, I better be, because, you know, I got a few degrees. What's up, Kelly? How's life?
Life is good. I mean, despite the circumstances, I really have no complaints.
Yeah.
Blessed.
Good. Business still booming. That's it.
Slanging stork. Slanging.
Husband and kids straight.
They're good.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, virtual learning, we'll get into that
sure at some point. Talk to me about that a little bit right now, though, with the virtual learning. Is it stressful?
A little stressful.
Do you feel like you're back in school?
I do.
Now, are you a good student?
No. I don't ask me any math questions.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
For sure. Bishop Becca.
Yes, sir.
What's up with you?
I'm good.
Life's good?
Yeah.
How are all your many businesses, things you got going on?
Right. So, Bell Bond's been doing good.
Yes.
People always think that's weird because, like, I'm a little in petite, but, like, your girl's packing. Don't ever get confused. but yeah, Bell Bond's been doing good. Radio's been great. Life has been good. I will agree. Aldine owe me some money for this virtual learning. Because I'm out here the principal, the cafeteria lady, the counselor,
yeah,
the registrar. Because they didn't even give my baby no schedule. I had to create a schedule. So I digress. But other than that, I'm blessed.
But let me ask you this. Let's say if I ask Kelly, are you able to, you know, are you finding out that you are a good student, or have you forgotten a lot of the stuff that you learned back in the day?
No, I mean, you know, I just recently got my master's degree, so like I'm not far removed from it, so I'm still within it, but I think my area of patience, shout out to the village, that'll help you, because my sister, she a teacher, she came and got my baby for me and took her and really got her, because I don't do that, you get what I'm saying? And so, yeah, it take a village, but yeah, I mean, as far as electronic, you know, stuff, I'm good on it, but the patience of the structure of it, not really my forte. So
gotcha. Chandler, my girl, Miss Texas. She's your
Wow.
What's going on? You all right?
You know what? I am needless to say, I'm very blessed. It could be way worse right now with the extreme circumstances we're in right now as a nation, as a world. I mean internationally.
Yeah.
But I just got a job, a public relations job.
Come on, yay!
I'm super excited about. And I also started a girlfriend's podcast
a few
weeks ago.
Come on,
with me and my girl, and in school, I'm graduating in May.
Yeah,
the clock is ticking.
Right,
the clock is ticking.
Now, will I be a guest on the podcast?
Oh, yeah, you got front row.
Okay, there she go, being fraud again, y'all. She don't mind lying in your face. She promises you don't mind lying in your face.
You gonna quit?
All right, man. Let's get into it. First thing first.
First things first.
Of course, today we're talking about titles and we're talking about labels in all facets, whether it's relationships or whether it's from professional jobs, you know, with your title, so forth and so on. And I want to know, the first time you became a title, was there any anxiety? Was there any expectation? Were there any emotion? Let me start with you, Bishop Becca. Do you remember the first time you became a title in any facet, whether it was a girlfriend, whether it was a wife, whether it was a mother in the field, where you remember having some,
I think I've had a whole bunch of them, actually, if I look back on my life. Like, I think when I was Miss Clark Atlanta, that was big. Because I didn't really understand how much hate came with the seat. I just really, you know, I got into it because I wanted to make a difference, you know, and I didn't really, I always knew about HBCU Queens, but I didn't know it was that deep. And so that was heavy.
Talk to me a little bit, because I remember we had a conversation. You were dating a guy at that time, and he couldn't handle your title.
Right. So I was dating a guy at the time. Now, mind you this, we were best friends. We had grew up together. We were best friends. He went to Morehouse, and then I went to Clark Atlanta, and we dated for like 3 years. he first started showing weird signs when I won Miss Black and Gold, because his thing was, I don't want to see you out here parading in no swimsuit for these.
Yeah. Yeah. For these Nicodemus.
Yeah, these Nicodemus.
Yeah, yeah. I already know. So yeah.
He was
yeah.
feeling some type of way.
And I feel him, but right. continue.
And
continue.
So he felt some type of way, but I mean, I was winning money, so I didn't really see what the problem was. Like, I was winning money.
Like, aren't you proud?
I know, aren't right. you proud? Like, who's mad that they got you? Know what I'm saying?
Aren't you proud?
So then, dude broke up with me the week before campaign week for Miss CAU.
Wow.
Literally, I'll never forget that. That was Sunday. He was like, I just can't do this. Like, I'm not interested in being known as Miss CAU's boyfriend.
Oh, you played yourself.
He couldn't handle what came with that title.
Wow. Ooh. You know, and so even with that, and then I think the title of Bishop Beck, like, Bishop Beck is my line name. Right. Even when my frat sisters gave me that name, I kind of was like, at first I thought it was a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was funny, Akiki, because I like church.
Yeah.
So I thought they was like, oh, yeah, girl, Bishop Beck, da-da-da-da. But it came with a heavy weight. And even still now, you know, like, even doing radio, people be like, well, are you a real bishop? I'm like, listen, don't nobody ask Bishop Don Juan is he a real bishop? He a whole pimp.
You're right.
Ain't nobody checking for him. You know what I'm saying?
You're and
so
pimp.
Right. So it just come. It come with a lot. You get what I'm saying? And so I just have to kind of navigate, you know, me even in the midst of it. But now I feel you. Them labels be heavy though.
Miss Texas, talk to me. Talk to me. What did that label? What type of anxiety, what type of expectation did that garner for you?
Let me say this. If we talking from Miss Texas, I didn't start competing, unlike most competitors. I didn't start competing in that world until I was 15 years old.
Okay.
Most of them, my competitors started when they was 3, 4, 5, 10. Oh.
They,
you
know, they was mad with you.
They was, oh, they were, was in there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I knew what I was faced with going into it, because it wasn't a world where, you know, black women were really on
right.
top. Okay. My very first competition that I competed in and won was Miss Black Texas. Catch this title, Miss Black Texas Talented Team, USA.
Oh,
so I knew I was from Texas, black and talented.
Yeah.
Don't forget my age. So that gave me, of course, like that experience of getting familiar with my own community,
right.
But I wanted something bigger. But with bigger comes bigger responsibilities, comes
right.
bigger problems, and it comes more haters.
Yes.
And a lot of, I remember when I was crowned, like you, Bishop, I have such a heart for teens.
Right.
Like, that was my thing. My sister and I had our own girls organization
right.
up and running, Queen to Queen, where we focused on pouring into teen girls.
Right.
So I wanted to really just take that over into the Miss Texas world and be like, look, let's take this thing nationwide.
Right. Yeah.
But with that, you know, I mean, the moment I was crowned, I had a lot of support.
Yeah.
But there were those trolls on there
Woo!
Who love to call you a monkey girl and call
Ooh.
You all the,
yeah,
it's okay, don't be mad. Don't be sad for me. But yeah, definitely had those people who, you know what was the toughest thing for me, actually?
What's that?
With the amount of support I did have, and I do have, it's recognizing that everybody who throwing their arms at you are really not for you.
Girl, don't do that. Don't do that.
That was
here.
I'm not even gonna go
girl,
deep.
Don't do that.
I'm not
like,
even gonna
girl,
go
don't
deep.
Do it here.
I'm gonna stop
no,
right there. I'm gonna stop right there.
That'll have you shell shocked. Like,
It will.
Because it's all moving fast around you. Everything's moving fast, and you like everybody's smiling, and I love
so
you,
true.
And I love you, and I think you're great,
yeah.
and you don't know what no more, because it's all moving fast. Baby,
right?
Don't do that, girl. Yeah. You're gonna have me out here.
Oh, I'm done. I ain't even gonna go deeper.
Kelly.
Shell shot.
Like, these girls.
You funny.
All one. Kelly, now you have a lot of titles.
I follow you on
Instagram. So you have a lot of titles. So did any, or which one can you maybe highlight that brought you a little, you know, anxiety? Like, wow.
I mean, really, the one that brought me the most anxiety was becoming a mother.
Okay.
Because it was a shock to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm dating this guy. We've only been dating for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out we're pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out.
I mean, like, what?
Thinking my life is over, crying, like,
yeah.
both of us in tears.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was 28.
Okay.
I was 28 when I found out I was pregnant,
okay.
which is for me, I still felt like that was too young. Even though my family was pressuring me, like, when are you going to have a, I need a grandchild, or when are you going to have a baby? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm living. I'm having a good old life.
Chilling.
But I would definitely say, like, knowing that I'm about to become a mother, just, that did it for me.
That's a lot of pressure.
And I mean, throughout the entire pregnancy with Jackson, he's 8 now. I mean, just the most perfect pregnancy.
Okay.
But I'm reading all these books, and, you know, they don't give you a manual when you bring the baby home. Right, they really don't.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, being in the hospital, because I know I'm going to get released tomorrow, and I'm like, I don't know what this is going to be like tomorrow. Yeah, like, we're going to get home, and we're like, release is at around 4 o'clock. Like, the house was clean. Like, my mother-in-law came, cleaned the entire house before we got home. Right. My freezer was full of food. Like, we were ready. But I just remember, like, getting home with him just freaking out. Mm-hmm. Like, inside, just happy as can be, but just, what am I going to do with him?
Yeah.
And the next day, we got home. My sister-in-law came to visit me, and she's like, how you doing, Kelly? And I don't remember saying this to her, but she said that I said, Kelly, or I said, D, I'm just trying to keep him alive. We're just keeping him alive. But that was, and she said that when she had her first baby, she could hear me saying, I'm just keeping him alive.
Yeah.
And that's like, that was her mantra. Yeah. And that just cracks me up when I think about it now, because I do not remember saying that. But that sounds like something I would say. I'm like, look, I'm just trying to keep this baby alive. I don't know. I don't know what's happening
right now. It's going to be all right.
Before we move on, because you two are both mothers. And I know, like, even with my wife, you know, my son and my daughter, everything goes to her before it comes to me.
True.
And so being a mom, that title, somebody really depending, believing, you are they all in all. Right. It's mama.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a bad dream, it's not daddy, it's mama. True. If they sick, it's mama. If they want to do something, it's mama. I'm hungry, it's mama. So talk about that. If you don't mind.
But if we need an oil change, it's daddy.
That is funny.
Well, that's one thing. Well, their kids are not at oil change.
Oh, right. 11 and
8.
4.
We're not ready for all of that.
You're right. I can't figure out what we at 11, why I was like, daddy. Okay, you're right.
Yeah, but what's that like, mom? Like, that particular title?
I think, I don't know. I kind of went through postpartum when I was after I had Elena. So because Elena came at 33 weeks in a day. So she was like 3 pounds, 14 ounces. So when
I'm glad you said something, because when you said that 33 weeks, I'm
it threw
so
you
lost.
Off. You know what that means?
Like, what?
That's for the mamas in the building.
Yeah, I'm like, 30 what? What's wrong with 33 weeks?
So but she came early.
Okay.
She was due the end of August. She was due August 28th. She came July 7th.
Okay.
And so she was 3 pounds, 14 ounces. And I stayed in the hospital for 5 days. And then they sent me home.
Okay.
And then so she had to stay for another 30 days. Mm-hmm. And so they sent me home. And that is, as a mother, traumatic to be at home the night before, you know, a week before, and have somebody in your belly, and then come home and you have nothing.
Wow.
And that was very, very traumatic. And so I ended up getting sick because I kept going into the hospital every day. Now, mind you this, my body's open, but I'm like, I gotta go see my baby, because I am mama bear at all costs. And if these nurses up here moving sketch, sick of nothing, I'm about to lay these hands.
Period. Nothing else.
You know what I'm saying?
Nothing else.
So, you know, and then I ended up getting really, really sick, and I couldn't see her. And so that really, really troubled me. Like, I would do, you know, shout out to the new mothers that you do dumb things that don't make sense, but you think you're doing them because they make you the greatest mom in the world. And at the time, I was a recruiter for Clark Atlanta University, right? So I used to have to travel all the time. And so I was like, no, I can't travel as much. Can y'all just give me, you know, Georgia area? Like, I don't really want to go nowhere because I got this new baby. Well, then they sent me outside to go to Raleigh, Durham. Being a new mom, being dumb. What I do is I say, I don't want to be away from my baby, okay? I don't want to be away from my baby. And the way it works is, if you're out of town on the Monday you're supposed to come back, you still get that day off.
Yeah.
But if you back in the city, you got to come in to work.
Okay. Okay.
The recruiting thing was on Sunday. Me like a dummy. I say, I want to be here for my baby. I'm not going to be leaving my baby here by herself. I get on a flight that flies from Georgia to Charlotte, from Charlotte to Raleigh-Durham, and I do that in reverse just so I can be back to see my baby. Wow. She was asleep when I left, and she was asleep when I got home. And I still had to go to work.
Mother of the year.
You know, I better get a baby. I better have a crown and a bag.
All the prizes. All of that. Needs a crown. Kelly, but just to watch that baby asleep. Just,
yeah. Just and you know, I went through it.
Kelly, you got the 11-year-old. And the
eight and the four.
Yeah,
let me tell you, last Thursday I had a root canal. And I was in the worst pain. My appointment was at 2. I didn't get home until like 5:30. I got in the bed, like I showered, got in the bed because I was in so much pain when I got home. I was in the bed by 5:45. And my 4-year-old wanted one of those little go-gurts. And he walked past his daddy in the living room.
Who's healthy.
Who's healthy and well.
That's how it be.
Walked past him, walked into my bedroom, and was like, Mommy, open this yogurt. And I'm like,
I'm living on my deathbed.
I'm dying. Man. I'm literally dying. Like, I feel like I'm dying right now. Yeah. Go ask your daddy.
But that's
it's something about, we just, no offense to any of the fathers out there, but Mommy, it's just something about trusting our mom. Yeah. I mean, our moms have never led us astray.
Do you know?
Well, I mean, and not that, again, not that dads have, but you just put a little extra oomph.
They know.
Okay.
Because mommies do have a level of care. Not saying dads don't.
We pay close attention to detail.
Thank you.
All that.
I think
pay
that's
attention
what it
to
is.
Detail. That's what it is.
Yeah, like we're very detail oriented. Like we're going to ask daddy
the
just
right
like,
question.
Right. Dad just be like, you all right?
Yeah.
And because of their tone, the baby going to be like, yes.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, they're going to be like, oh, okay, you good?
Yeah. He thinks
he's fine. Meanwhile, my fever is at 100.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm dying.
Yeah. Sound like y'all hate. I'm just saying. I'm just listening. And it sounds like a lot of hate is coming towards the day.
I'm just saying, the mama ain't never let us down.
Because that's real. Because a mama ain't going to stop. Till we get the answer.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
Because
you don't, it don't feel right. I don't feel like you okay, so you ain't okay. Yeah. So what's going on?
Because you don't feel like
you
okay.
I don't feel like it. And usually mother's intuition be accurate.
100.
No.
Oh, not as mother's intuition. It's from woman's intuition, wife's intuition.
Yes,
mother's
intuition.
What a women got
intuition. As long as you're female,
right there,
the intuition
we
is legit.
100%.
We be knowing.
Man, listen, let's put this thing in gear. I want to know, are you for it? Are you against it? Are you neutral? And if I like it, I'll put the thing in park. Now, because we're talking about titles and labels, a lot of times people will say our relationship was great until we put a title on it. We were fine until we labeled what we were. And so on this put it in gear segment, how do you feel about engaged? Once you get engaged, but you have no ring. If you engaged.
That doesn't. That's
with no ring.
That's not a
we
thing.
We engaged.
That, yeah, you're not engaged.
We in conversation about
yeah.
the thing.
You're not.
We
so you believe
we
a ring.
A meeting.
A ring is what? We having a what?
We having a meeting.
A meeting. Yes.
Yeah, we having
exactly
we
what that
we
is.
We not together all the way.
So engaged, no ring. So a brother. I want to marry you.
Yeah. That's cute.
But I don't have the finances.
Make it official.
We got, but we can't get the label of being engaged.
No, listen, you can go get me a white gold band from Walmart and propose to me, and we're engaged. But don't, we're not having a conversation, and then we're engaged. No, go get me.
You need a token.
You can get me a twist tie from the bread.
Oh, you're very kind, child of God.
Like,
you're very
do
kind.
That and we're engaged.
Look at you.
And you say, look. And you say, well, no. That would be more like a promise ring.
Yeah, that's Hang a promise on. Ring.
That's
and
a promise ring.
And promises, we too grown. Listen. Robin, what your folks done told you? If you ain't got it to be proposing,
I was just about to say you the
don't be
same
proposing
man
because
who sat in that chair.
Listen, and I'm not, you know, I'm not gonna go Bible, but I think I will. Okay, sis, When Eve woke up, she woke up in a kingdom, did she not? She woke up in the garden, did she not?
You have not told a single lie.
Everything was prepared. So if you ain't prepared, don't talk to me.
Don't
talk to me.
You're not prepared. Don't talk to me at all. That's it.
So let me get this straight. All of y'all are against this, that if a brother proposed to you and he does
you
not
proposed.
Give
there's
you,
there's no proposal without consent. What is the proposal?
You don't have.
I just
want to
make sure we're clear. All of y'all are against this.
Yeah. If that's the case, let's just talk about it in the conversation. I want to marry you. Okay. Cool. I want to marry you too.
Me too.
Okay.
Me
in the future.
Too. Okay. Let me move. But forward, against, or neutral? Engage with no date, but you have a ring.
Yes, that's fine.
Wait, wow!
Wait,
I'm good with that.
Wait, say that one more time.
Engage.
You got a ring now, because that's what you want. Obviously, Kelly.
I mean, I'll take the bread.
So you have a ring, okay. But you don't have a wedding date.
How long we don't have this wedding date?
You don't have it now.
But we don't have it now. Okay,
when did we get engaged, though?
Oh, you got engaged months ago.
Months.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's fine.
When we start talking years,
so that's when it's
we're in a pandemic, sir.
So,
right. I don't want it to get
hey, I don't want to hear that pandemic thing. So what? So what I'm hearing?
That's what we're in.
What I'm hearing right now from you, GDs.
Well, what is that?
That sounds like Gold Digger. What I hear from y'all right now is that you're saying what's most important to make you engaged is not the date. But the ring.
Or
when did you hear us say that?
From the bread container. Hey, or the bread bag.
Kelly.
No, ma'am.
Kelly, relax.
It is not the ring. It is the symbol of your commitment to me. So if you're saying you want to be with me and there's nothing symbolically showing me that I need to press pause on every other brother that comes in here.
The date.
Okay, even with the date. How do I know where we are right now? We have some things that we need to get together financially or whatever. Yes. Not even financially, or just we need to go to counseling.
There's many factors. There are a ton of factors.
Because, granted, there are plenty of people that get engaged that don't make it through counseling. Like
I didn't go to counseling.
Well, you're blessed, child of God.
We didn't counsel.
Look at you.
And my dad, my grandfather, great-grandfather,
y'all
uncle.
Y'all are not the blueprint.
Roommate, all the pastors, I did not get counseled.
Praise God.
To get married. Kelly, did y'all get counseled?
No.
Thank you very much.
Well, y'all are blessed.
Listen here, Bishop. Counseled.
Listen.
I hear what you're saying.
But I will say for me this time, I did like a car wash version of counseling, and it wasn't good. So I will say this time, I really do want to go through some real, counseling.
Right. Because I think it's a good idea.
For me, again, I've been married before. So I need to make sure, and the person I'm dating has been married before, I need us to make sure we ain't bringing the shim-shammery of what we have been through.
That's important.
Up and through this year.
So you think a counselor's going to take the shim-shammery that you've been through away?
I think the counselor will pose the questions that we may not have asked already.
Yeah. What you got against the counselor? Because you sound very aggressive right now.
Like,
I just
want to
know what is your rage with counseling.
Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with counseling.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem. But for people who think that they're going to counseling and think that this particular counseling or this counselor is getting ready to right all wrongs and getting ready to expose all types of a counselor's job, from what I heard, for people who are trying to get married, they're trying to pose all the things of why you should not be married.
Okay.
That's what they are trying to do. They trying to let you know, hey, this is not what y'all should be doing. And they trying to see if you are strong enough to get through that.
That's right. Good.
Yeah. That's good.
That's a good thing.
Is that not what marriage is?
You
want
to be sure.
Right.
But you can't be sure on this couch. I don't care what job you on until you actually do that job.
That's true. I feel that too.
Yeah. Bottom line.
Right? I hear that too.
Can't nobody tell me about marriage.
Amen.
Agreed.
We're not disagreeing. That.
Had somebody told me about marriage. I'm finna tell you. Had somebody told me all the stuff that you're gonna have to possibly endure and stuff like that, then I don't think I would get. I don't think nobody would get married.
Right.
You have to live it.
Yes, but I also think you can be as prepared as possible.
Right.
Not saying,
and I'm not refuting that.
Yeah, I
I'm
think you should be at, with anything, whether you're going into a new job, a new relationship. Agreed. You just want to be as prepared as possible. Not saying that I understand going into this, it's not going to be perfect because none of us are perfect. None of us are. And I'm not expecting, you know, you to be perfect or anything. But if there are major issues that I don't really know anything about, we need to hash this out now before I link up my money. Don't get me angry because I feel it coming on my channel.
Coming.
I feel it coming too. But why do you think that the person that you marrying in this counseling session is getting ready to be 100 completely honest in this counseling session?
But why? This my question is, Mr. Marcus D. Wiley.
Oh, she didn't get you.
Oh my God, you gave me the whole
thing. I have a question.
Yes.
What? Why?
Why are your eyes closed while you talk? Open your eyes.
Why? I'm taken aback right now by you.
Okay,
she's trying to process.
But why is the idea that you can't go through with it? Like, my thing is, you're saying, like, why do you need counseling? Why is counseling the answer? But I feel like, who said that it's not the answer? Like, why are we so against? Because I think about it from a standpoint of, like, look, my last name's Foreman. Mm-hmm. I thought the Foreman family was perfect. I'm talking... Screw the first family.
Right.
We are the image.
Right. Yeah.
I got older and I said, wow, do we have some issues?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Issues that I'm seeing not only through my daily walk, but as I'm with someone else, right, where I'm like, I know I learned this from my daddy.
Yeah.
I know I learned this from my mama. And I know if I don't unlearn this, ain't nobody gonna wanna be with me.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So those are some things sometimes when you're in counseling or when you're in sessions like that, mm-hmm, only that person, that unbiased person, can bring that out of you.
That's
and again,
truth.
Propose those questions. So right, I don't think we should be so, not saying you are, but there are people out there who are very
totally
against who are like,
it.
What a person with a degree gonna tell me what to do. My marriage, she ain't telling you how to last for 25 years.
Thank you.
It's not about that. Like, you get tools.
Thank you.
You get the tools.
That's what they do.
Like, premarital counseling, I really feel like Scotty and I could have benefited from that because it really does give you the tools to use when you are in your marriage. Like, when things come up, things arise, like, you can go back and you're like, you know what?
Okay.
Let's think about this. Let's talk this through.
Let's have a table moment.
I really think. It's a good idea.
And listen, I'm happy for you ladies.
I can't.
Who truly think
I cannot
that counseling
oh my God
about marriage is going to be great. I'm not saying it's not great.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I would be a fool to sit here and say, oh, you don't need counseling, even though I didn't get counseling.
All right.
But what I am saying is, this particular, if we want to call it this job of marriage, it's unpredictable. It's this is not where somebody give you this title. Okay, you're the husband, you the wife. Okay. This is what you do as a husband. Mm-hmm. This is what you do as a wife. Agreed. And if you just do these things, mm-hmm, everything's fine. This is not that type of job.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't go to counseling.
Right,
I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying, yo, this type of stuff here that happens,
mm-hmm, you got to be in it to tango.
In the words of my daddy, I'm not saying counseling is the only thing. You're going to have to have counseling. You have to have, what do you say, both and. You got to have God, and you got to have counseling, and and a conglomerate of communication. Like, there are different elements that are all going to help work this, you know, this thing together. But I think, too, for some people, especially if you are the person that you already know going in, that you have your own internal whatever from your childhood or whatever, I think it's healthy for you to be transparent with the person you're going in with to say, hey, I want us to talk through this to make sure that we're good, that you understand all of what this looks like, because I don't want you to wake up 4 years from now, 3 years from now, and say this is too much, because at least I told you up front. We went through here and we had those real conversations.
You know what stands out about that? And this is the kicker. So, for so long, and I see it even when within my own families, my own home, we always talk about how important communication is, and we see it on a daily basis how so many people lack communication. And that's really the fall of a lot of relationships. And I think counseling forces you to have those conversations that you are avoiding.
Right.
Because I know, for example, I call my mother a counselor sometimes because she reads me for filth. But I do go to her with most of my issues because I know she's going to tell me from a bias standpoint, but she's also going to tell me from a, look, this is what you need to know. You need to fix yourself. I know I'm at fault, but if you don't fix this, you're in trouble.
Right.
And I think you just have to be willing to, I mean, I don't know. I just think counseling forces that, again, those forced conversations that we avoid. Because if I didn't have them, honestly and truly, I would be, I call myself the talking machine. But it's a lot of conversations when it comes to telling me about myself.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know how to talk no more.
I don't have a voice. Think you want to get on the, no. I mean, and I cannot stress this. It is healthy. And not all counselors are the same, too. And I think that's something that people don't understand. There's some counselors that will pose questions and make you talk. Yep. And actually, it's not them that pulls it out of you. You talk it out of yourself.
Yep.
Like, you come to the conclusion yourself. Like, when I was in undergrad, my undergraduate degree is in psychology. And Dr. Bash used to always teach us that your job is to pose the right question, to invoke that person to tell you what they need to tell you, to get off of whatever they need to get out of them. And so, you know, you have some counselors that will give you strategy, and you have some counselors that are designed to ask you the right question and listen. And you come to it for yourself. And it's something about your ears hearing, you know, your mouth speak so your spirit can agree. It's that, like, really powerful, and it's really deep. And that in itself would change your attitude.
Yeah. So, again.
So
what Bishop Becker said was phenomenal. She, listen, she spews a bunch of gems.
I feel like I'm in a counseling session right now.
That's what I'm saying. She spew a bunch of gems.
Well, I hear you.
But okay, I hear
it. Why you trying to act like I ain't heard the girl?
I said I'm receiving from you, too.
We're like, you got some
money. I hear the girl. We've kind of hit a track and went, took a right now.
Okay.
No, it's all good. Okay. Because this is good conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I like it. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, again, ladies and just ladies.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, this counselor in whom you all root for and who you all have all this stock in.
Okay.
And trust and believe, I get it. But the people in the counseling session have to be willing.
They have to be in it 100%.
And so you all over here, because obviously y'all like willing workers. But but I know a bunch of dudes that will sit on this couch.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
Who don't even, first of all, want to be here.
You ain't lying.
And they're not getting ready to be as transparent or as honest. Not that they're in there lying.
Yeah.
They're just not about to be.
As for
because coming. I don't, it's like, y'all don't want this, whoever this is, all in my business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can tell me some stuff about, hey, are y'all going to have joint bank accounts? You know, the typical counseling thing.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, how do y'all think about raising the kids? Yeah. Guys will participate in all that old type of stuff.
Yeah.
But now when you start getting into some issue, hey, get out of my business.
Yeah.
Agree. That's get out of my business.
Yeah, I can see that.
You understand what I'm saying? And that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to act like counseling is not good.
Exactly. That's not but that's an alert for me.
I don't know if that's an alert for you. Just watch.
No, just I feel because like
you're,
it is.
No, just because you are willing to run your mouth and tell your business
your
to anybody, don't mean it's because the dude is not doing it. That this is a red flag. Now it's a red flag.
It's not a red flag. It is something. It depends on how the question is posed. If the counselor poses a question that deals with child hurt or infidelity or real core things, based on that response, that would I be like,
yeah,
you okay?
I'm like, we good? Like, with the side eye,
like, what's like, we need to discuss this.
So in the counseling session, are we talking about infidelity?
If that's the problem, I mean, it comes up. I feel like that was one of the questions. We're getting ready to get married.
Right, but that was one of the questions.
Why are we talking about infidelity?
Have you done it before? Because check your track record. And if I had to listen properly,
if a man's in a counseling session and the counselor say, hey, do you have a problem with infidelity?
Okay, first of all, if she asks a question like that, she's fired.
Because why should she be asking a question like that? That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't think that that's a question in counseling.
I feel like that wouldn't happen. No offense. That's like asking a white person, are you racist? They're not going to say, yes, I'm racist.
Yeah. They're not going to come out and acknowledge it.
You know?
All the way.
They're not.
But I can't remember how they asked it, but it came up.
It came up.
And again, I was young and I didn't process that, girl, this could be a problem later.
Yeah.
You know.
So you had counseling in your first, in your marriage when you got married.
Yeah, but I told you it was a car wash version.
I know you told me it was at the car wash.
And they tried to jam pack like what should have been like 5 to 6 weeks, like in two. It was a drive through, and I was concerned. But I was really just, I mean, I was young and I just wanted to be married, and I wanted to tell my parents that I went to counseling, so I did.
Well, kudos to you for making the decision because I will never forget when I told my mom I wanted to go to counseling. I was in the seventh grade. She said, "Girl, you ain't crazy. You don't need no counseling." And I was like, "You know what, Mom? You're right.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy."
Oh, wow.
But I wound up actually going to counseling
anyway.
I personally believe I only want black female counselors.
Yeah, I'm noticing how you keep saying if the counselor, you keep saying she as if. Men can't counsel.
I don't know, you can, but she kept saying she. But you know what I will say, I think you would be a really great counselor though, Wally, because you're not no, he really is good because you're not like biased. Like
I'll call Wally.
He know I'll call him. Yeah. I'll be like, now, Wally, I need you to make sure that I'm not acting crazy.
Right, right.
So let me know if I'm being the crazy chick. Yeah. Let me know. You know, he'll let me know. And he always opens up my mind. He'll pose a question to me that opens up my mind to look with a different set of lenses. Yeah. And I appreciate that because it's like.
Thank you.
You know, because sometimes, you know, you will. You get in your groove of life and how you've been moving. And especially, I'm not a man because that's another thing. I like women counselors when I'm talking about myself, but not in a relationship. Because I don't need, can't a woman help me about no man. Thank you, God. You can't help me. You don't know, sis. Because 9 out of 10, you ain't got one. And I don't have time for it. Because if you are a woman counselor, I need to know. I want your credentials. I'm that kind of girl. I want your credentials.
Right.
I want to know how long you've been married.
Right.
You've been married to this same brother.
Right.
Because what you ain't going to do is counsel me to damnation. I refuse. No, I'm not for that. But no, and that's the thing. Like, I genuinely appreciate that because he gonna give it to me. Like, yo, you know, brothers be like this, but come
I
on,
see that insight. You know, yeah, for sure,
you know
for
what
sure.
I'm saying? Because I mean, we be out here listening to our sisters who have no one.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
With no prospects of no one.
That is so true.
But they trying to tell you about how to keep your one.
Giving you relationship advice with no man.
They can't help me. You ain't had a man.
They have no title.
No title.
None.
You ain't had nobody since 72. I can't.
That is so true. That's, wow. Yeah. I am with you.
But I just want to make sure I'm sure.
Yeah.
I love this, what we're talking about, but I just want to make sure I'm sure that you all would rather have, when you get the title of engaged, you would rather have the ring over the date. That's correct.
Option C, a choice.
The commitment. And without that, you.
But not the date. Let me explain. Let me explain my position here. And then maybe you all will be able to understand me a little better. Let me give you this key. If you have a ticket to go see Beyonce,
mm-hmm.
and people are saying, you going to the concert? Yeah, I got the ticket to go see Beyonce. Oh, man. Them tickets sold out. You got one? I got one. And then they ask you, when is the concert? And you say, I don't know, but I got the ticket.
You funny. Mm-hmm. You're hilarious.
That, to me, is what being engaged is without a date. Okay. Engaged is short for engagement. We have a date. It's something with this engagement because if you don't have the date, then, Kelly, as you said earlier, now that is a promise ring.
Right.
But mm-hmm. the date is what makes you engagement. Okay. Not a ring.
Mm. Okay.
Of course we want the ring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know. Not we.
For sure.
Y'all want the ring.
That's the truth.
This girl even take a bread Twix and pick. She want the ring. She want the ring so a bad. But what I'm saying is a date is what makes an engagement,
okay.
not a ring. I know girls that have been engaged for years.
I know too.
And they talking about they can't find. We ain't settled on a date yet.
No, he ain't settled on a date.
No, no. Don't just put that all
oh,
on him.
Because if you leave it to the woman,
no, don't put
she
that.
She got a date.
She got the
no,
date.
No,
okay,
ma'am.
Okay, what women is these?
No, ma'am. Because you got to remember, some women, they want this wedding to where, hey, it's almost like none of their friends gonna be able to go. You want this destination wedding. Why right. y'all want to get married in Aruba? Okay, I'm struggling to pay Reliant. I can't even pay my light bill, but you want me to fly all the way to Aruba, get a hotel, get a tuxedo, get a dress, all this stuff. Okay, so they'll postpone it or they'll delay it, push it back until, hey, y'all got to save y'all money.
See.
And they be looking at that as if that is the thing, when the thing is, get married.
And marriage. Honestly, and if that you find yourself in a situation like that, that is a red flag.
It is.
Because at the end of the day, the glory is not in the date or the event. It's in after the event. Mm-hmm. Because
for sure.
you don't get to Very really true. Be married until the day after. When you wake yeah. up sure. and y'all in this house together and you like, oh, I got to look at you for real
for the rest of my life.
Yeah. That's what's really important. Ever. And, you know, I know a lot of people like the excitement of weddings and it's cool and it's dope. And I think it's great. And I think it's beautiful. But if we invest, that's why I said I like counseling. If we invest as much energy as in the relationship as we do on the exterior thing, I think it can go the distance.
Yeah.
The big title, especially in relationships, there are titles in business. Like I say, if I go to a restaurant and the food was bad or cold or whatever, the service was horrible, I don't ask to speak to the waiter. I don't ask to speak to the host. I ask to speak to the manager. Because there's an expectation that comes with that particular title.
True.
Even in relationship.
Yeah.
Boyfriend, girlfriend is fine. Significant other, awesome. Fiance, brilliant.
Right.
But the pressure title, okay, the title that comes with expectation is husband and wife.
Right.
When you have that title, your hustle even different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you know you have another mouth depending on you.
Yeah.
And then if you have kids, mouths.
Yes.
Your hustle is different.
Right. For
sure. Because when I think about being a husband, this particular title for me, that means I am a provider.
Right.
I need to provide not only monetary things, but also I need to have lead my family spiritually.
Yes.
I need to, you know, lead them practically.
Right.
You know, all across the board. Yeah. And so when I look at titles, and especially like I say, as a dad, as a husband, it's a lot of pressure. And the reason why it's pressure is because people have expectations of you.
Yeah.
They have expectation.
For sure.
Bottom line is some expectations placed on you.
Yeah.
Some folk, I used to wonder why Papa was a Rolling Stone. I know why. He couldn't live up to the expectations.
But that's good, though.
I'm just trying to tell you, you
presented it that way because I don't think a lot of people even recognize that that's the issue.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Because people just think, I'm good. But it is. It may be the pressure of what, and honestly, it may be the pressure that you put on yourself because nobody said that to you.
And the pressure that you put on yourself as well. You're absolutely correct.
The pressure you put on yourself.
Yeah. And so I believe titles and labels, I think they cause or they pose a certain pressure. When we were talking about being engaged, whether you have a date or whether you have a ring, now there's some pressure on you now.
Yeah.
It should be some pressure.
Yeah.
I shouldn't see you 2020 engaged. Oh, you just got engaged. Mm-hmm. Great. And then I see you again 2022 and y'all still ain't married. Y'all still engaged.
Yeah.
It should have been some pressure. Some expectations should have been in this particular relationship.
Agreed.
That's real.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
We need to be going somewhere, child.
You got to be going somewhere.
We're not parking.
We got to be in Dallas.
That's why I'm driving. That's why I'm driving. I've been designated to drive this car. Child, I don't want you to have to go through this, man. I don't want you to go through this.
That's real, though.
I am.
You should have expectations on whatever dude that's around here calling himself your man.
That's
if
true.
You my man, that should be some expectation from
ooh,
you.
Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, I got a question.
Oh, come on with it.
I got a question because now men that don't, okay, I'm a hopeless romantic like this. Like I've always wanted and desired like a man to be like, that's me. I'm through. That right there,
yeah,
that's me. And yeah. So when dudes be like talking to me for a long time and I be looking like, you don't acknowledge that that's me. So at this point, you wasting my time. Mm. So I move around. And so I look for that, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. In guys. Because I feel like, and I'm gonna ask you, Rev, do it take you all a long time to study? Do you know when you know? Or do you gotta study long? I think if you study long, you study wrong. But that's,
you know,
just my
that's gonna be on another episode.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I bring everybody back for that. But to answer your question right quick, as we hurry to a close, as they say in church. I believe in love at first sight. Are y'all on that?
I
believe in love at first sight. Mm-hmm. I know what I like.
Right.
I know what I want. When I see it, I already know that's me.
Right.
This is me. And watch this here. Here's the beautiful part. I don't know when, let's say when I saw Eric. I saw her walking down the yard at Texas University.
Come on, TSU.
I don't know if she crazy.
Right?
I don't know if she deranged.
Come on.
Okay? I don't know nothing. I don't know any dysfunctions about her or anything. I just know she looked like Mrs. Wiley.
There you go.
I'm not concerned about if she got a car. Ooh. I'm not concerned about if she got money.
None of that.
I'm not concerned about nothing because I'm going to have that.
Right.
Right.
So all that, I don't need you to have all that because I'm gonna have that. I don't have it now.
But I'm
gonna have that.
Yeah.
I just know this look like me.
Right.
And give me. This here is what I want. And so how guys, especially guys, Bishop, that's in church, who be telling me they can't find a woman.
Sir.
And I'm going, player.
Please,
they are littered. Out here, women
the
are
ratio.
Every the ratio
it's unfair.
Is in your favor. It's so. Yeah. So when guys say that to me, I don't even think they want to be. They just using that as an excuse.
Because
if you wanted it, now they
it's
out here.
Here,
absolutely,
it's here.
They out here.
This is a whole nother discussion for a whole nother day. Because there's a new breed of ninja out here, Robert.
Agreed.
That believes. And these is Bible running brothers. This is what's troubling.
Yeah. Bible running.
They Bible running brothers.
They
and I'm troubled
ones.
By
the worst
because
ones.
They believe that they are the prize, Reverend. That they are the favor. And I'm confused because the Bible that I read says a man that finds a good wife, he obtaineth favor from the Lord. Now, wait now.
But if you can remember the reason why they feel like they are the prize is because the last time I was with you lovely ladies, Chandler over here on my left.
Oh, Lord.
Who didn't mind at some point paying for food and all that. You have made him the prize. You've made him.
That didn't have nothing to do with it.
Chandler, hold on. Time.
Make your little point.
Make my little point. But you made him the prize. And so now guys, and I know this for a fact because at my barbershop, guys now feel like you ladies need to show what you can do.
Oh,
not in the bedroom, financially. What can you bring to me? Because I'm the prize. Once upon a time, you were.
Right.
But now, it's me. I got to get out of here, y'all. That's our time. I want to appreciate you all again for riding with your boy. Kelly, what is your social media? Let the folk follow you because you're a good follow. On Instagram. I follow you.
I am the Black Martha Stewart.
Oh, yes.
But I am the with two E's.
That's biblical, Kelly. That's biblical. The
Come on,
with
it,
two
it
E's.
Is.
Uh-huh.
It is.
Bishop.
Yes, sir. You can follow me at Bishop underscore B-E-K-A-H, like Rebecca in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And she's a good follower as well. Mm-hmm. She going to give you some prayer. Mm-hmm. Then she going to give you some ratchet.
Yeah.
Then she going to give you a little bit of everything.
Some slay. We here for
some
we
slay.
Like,
yeah, she going to give you the clothes game. Talk to me, Chandler. How can they keep up with you?
You can follow me at Chandler underscore Morey, M-O-I-R-E. That's my middle name.
Oh, okay, oh okay, God, okay.
Give it a little. Give it a little.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I thought that was your new dude name. I was like, y'all already got a page together. See what I'm talking about? Too soon. Thank y'all for upload, download, and all the loading that you do. This is The Designated Drive. I'm Marcus D. Wiley. We out of this piece.